bring greetings to you this evening. It's good to be here. And we sang Perfect Submission, Perfect Delight. That's where we need to be tonight, is that perfect submission and perfect delight. It's good to be here with you this weekend. The title of the sermon tonight is, what I'm going to use is, and I want to keep this relatively short, but we as brotherhood. What is the difference between this assembly and any assembly of the Lions Club or the Grange Hall or whatever in town? Well, tonight we are very happy and we're very excited to preach about the Holy Spirit and the brotherhood. Brotherhood is something very special to me, and the fact that God dwells within me and has made me a brother to Jesus Christ is very exciting. And then as we become corporate brotherhood, we're all brothers with Jesus Christ. Isn't that exciting tonight? That is amazing fact tonight, that we can have a brotherhood dynamic like that. Tonight, I would like to look at some of the basics of brotherhood, and maybe I'll just be talking about things you know so much already, but I got excited about them as I studied for this sermon and prepared for this sermon. The early church in the book of Acts lived and demonstrated this principle. They were under the influence of and filled with the Holy Spirit, and it brought a dynamic that brought unity in the church to people with widely different backgrounds and different languages and so forth. I want to go to Acts 2 after a while, or shortly here. But tonight I would like to hold this up as an ideal, the principle of brotherhood, and I realize that I can't communicate everything that I should about brotherhood tonight, but we're going to talk about brotherhood. The central dynamic or the powerhouse of church life is Holy Spirit-filled brotherhood. And it is where the brotherhood knows each other, influences each other, rebukes each other, prays for each other, and preaches to each other. The congregational dynamic is the Holy Spirit and His supernatural filling and giving life to each one of us, and then the corporate life that is evident from that. The early churches and today's church power is in the Holy Ghost and Holy Spirit. And I would like to go to Acts 2. And, I'd like to look at this for just briefly and then move on. And we're not going to read all of Acts 2, of course. But you know what happened in Acts 2? It was the Pentecost, and it was the birth of the church. And it says in verse 4, that they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And, tonight I don't want to go off on a tangent on, we as Mennonites tend to be very cautious about Holy Spirit-filled sermons, don't we, and talk. But tonight, really, Holy Spirit is what it's all about. God dwells in you, and as an individual and as a church, God dwells within us. And I'm excited about that tonight, that we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And it says here that they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. And then they talked. And, you know, people were there and they mocked, saying, "These men are full of new wine. They're all speaking the same language and they came from hither and yon." And this makes no sense at all. But Peter, in verse 14, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said, "Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, the days right now, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my spirits and on my handmaids I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show you wonders in heaven above," and so forth. This is the birth of the church. The dynamic of the Holy Spirit. And Peter got up and he said, "Prophet Joel, hundreds of years before, told us that this day was coming." Tonight, there is something special about fulfilled prophecy. And this came, that Joel was a prophet that spoke of this time when the Spirit would be poured out on the church. And, you know, we have a God of unity, and when he pours out his Spirit, why then we begin to think alike, right? We should. We should start to think alike. All this us and them stuff, you know, that's not the brotherhood. The brotherhood starts to think alike. And so tonight we are glad to be part of the Holy Spirit brotherhood. And I would like to turn now to Hebrews. Hebrews, and I believe it's chapter 2, yes. And verse 10, and then following. "So that for it became him," Jesus, "for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For though both he has sanctified, they and they who are sanctified, all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren." Tonight, isn't that exciting that Jesus wants to call you a brother? That's what brotherhood is. That we are a brother to Jesus Christ, saying, "I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again I will put my trust in him, and again I and the children which God hath given me." And jumping down to verse 17, it says, "Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people." God had a plan. He sent Jesus. He sent him as a human being, and he had him so he was in all points like we are as a brother. And we can, and it's exciting to think about Jesus being our brother. And he designed a plan of salvation We often talk like Sim was talking about our salvation experience itself. But tonight I want to promote this idea equal to that is to be a brotherhood, be a living brother with Jesus as we go through church life. He is uniting us and bringing us to brotherhood. And this evening we are brothers with Jesus Christ. Praise God. Now let's go over to Galatians chapter 4. And we could profit from reading quite a bit here, but we're just going to read a few verses. Verse 6 in Galatians 4. And it says, because ye are sons, and God sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Jesus, through Christ. How many of you have thanked God that you can cry, Abba, Father? We get into trouble and we say, oh God, help us. We're pleading for God through the Abba Father relationship. Father, Father, please come and help me. And then in verse 7 it says, wherefore thou art no more a servant but a son, and if a son then heir of God through Christ. We're no longer in slavery. Just doing what we're told. We are not slaves, but we're sons. What a privilege. What a privilege. Men and women, what a privilege to be a son or daughter of Christ. You know, I have men work for me, and they're servants. We know what that's like. They punch the time clock, and they do what they're told. But they go home, and they have no vested interest in it other than they want a good job. Well, I have a son work with me, also, and that son is clear different. He stays with the program until the job is done and it's fixed right. That's a difference between a servant and a son. Tonight is your salvation, is your privilege to be a brother, a volunteer act. You stay after hours. You work for your Father. You work for Jesus Christ. And it's a servant, it's a son relationship that is clearly different than a servant relationship. Brethren, if you're in a servant relationship with Jesus Christ, you think that the principles of this book are slavery and bondage, there's much better way to do it. Be a son. Be a son and say, yes, Father, I'll do it. I'll do it. What a privilege it is to have that Abba Father relationship with Jesus Christ. It is an amazing thing. Over in Revelations, the church in Sardis was, you know, it was a good Mennonite church. It looked right on the outside. And everything about Sardis was good, almost. Yeah, I don't know that it says too much about it, but it was dead. It was dead. The church was dead. Why? They weren't alive. They didn't have the Holy Spirit with them. And, you know, whatever the reason was there in Sardis, I'm not sure. But let's just remember that we can look right. We can do right. We can do all the things that are necessary to perform as a servant and not as a son. It's a big, big difference. And the difference between a servant and a son is that we have the Holy Spirit and we are, of course, sons of his. And so tonight, let's be servants, or let's be sons, not servants. Now let's turn to John chapter 4. There is a driving dynamic that brotherhood exists on. It is imperative. It is imperative that we have this dynamic. And we are introduced to it for the sermon tonight in First John. But we as brotherhood, verse 10 of John chapter 4, says that herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and that he sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Tonight, there's a driving dynamic in brotherhood that exists, and it's love. And here it says that God sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. God didn't just talk about it. God didn't just say that you should love me, but he sent his son to be the propitiation that freed us from sin. The principle I want to get out of this verse is that it takes sacrifice to love. Brotherhood is all about love, and that means sacrifice. That means giving into the brotherhood. No enduring church or brotherhood will happen unless there's sacrifice. And then in verse 11 and 12 and 13, that, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time, but we love one another, and God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby we know that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. I guess to shorten this up, I'm just going to say that the Spirit of God coming and dwelling in us makes us an organic entity rather than an organizational system. And we're alive. We're alive. We're not just, it's just not organization. It's just not knowing how to put it all together. It's just not doing what is evident, but it's an organic living church. Brotherhood in which we are part of. It's Holy Spirit filled by God himself. And I don't know what all to say that is, but organic is what grows and what lives and what brings forth fruit. Organization is what, you know, I'm not against organization. I know there needs to be organization, but let's be first and foremost an organic brotherhood that grows, an organic church that grows into the likeness of Jesus Christ and is his brother. And I think we better go to skip over some of this chapter, but let's go to chapter 5 and verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. Tonight, there's two principles there that we must do We must love God. The children of God. And we must love and keep His commandments. Brotherhood isn't just about jumping around in joy of the Holy Spirit, but it's something, it's a lot to do with keeping His commandments. Over in verse 13 and 4, in chapter 4, it says that if we dwell in Him, and He in us, He hath given us His Spirit. So tonight, we can know that if our church is following, if we love each other, and if we love the commandments of God, we make applications to the principles of God, that the principles of the Bible, we are a living church. And I trust that you are that way tonight, that we are a living entity, organic and alive. Oh, you know, I've worried about this a lot. I thought about this a lot. Is our church at home? Is it really alive? Or is it just doing what it needs to do on the outside? There's such a big difference between organization and being organic. I would like to go back to Acts 2 now and see how this plays out in reality, how this plays out. And go to the end of Acts, near the end of Acts 2. And, I realize we can, you know, there's ways in which we should talk about the book of Acts and things we need to understand about this. But I think it's really important tonight that when the birth of the church came and all the prophets spoke of these days, it says in Acts, all the prophets, they spoke of these days. It's something important. It's something important. Verse 41, 42 says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the doctrine, in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the Holy Ghost. The early church had a common fellowship. We, you know, sometimes in some of our minds, fellowship is we don't know if we want to talk about fellowship, but the Word of God says that through the power of the Holy Spirit, the early church had fellowship, and it's nothing to be ashamed of. Fellowship. It's communication. Communication with brothers. Enthusiasm for the church is fostered in brotherhood relationships. Where church does have a true church, a living church, has a common fellowship. So tonight, we are alive. We have a common fellowship. They studied together. They prayed together. They broke bread together. They had a common fellowship. The early church travailed in a common prayer for their needs. And I think that's so much part of church life, is that we struggle together in prayer. I just enjoyed and thought about how it was so biblical that yesterday when we got together, a few of us were together, and we prayed for this ordination. It just was the right thing. Why? Because when we cry, Abba Father, we have a need. And praying and beseeching God to give Dublin congregation peace, give each one of the brethren names. I'm not ashamed to say that you brethren should have names. Let's pray that God would lead us in many things, and of course in an ordination. They prayed in common prayer for their needs. It's exciting. And you know what happens when we cry, Abba Father, God, just hear my prayer, Abba Father, Father, Father. It says in Romans 8 that the Spirit helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. I don't understand all that, but I know it's true. I know it's true that the Spirit searches our hearts and maketh intercession for us. The early church had a common material economy. Barriers break down through giving to each other. What a blessing we have, and we can help each other out. We live in such a prosperous age, and everything comes to us easy now. It's kind of hard for us to understand this, but the early church gave to each other, and they had a common material economy. The early church had common convictions and common feelings. It says in Acts 4:32 that the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. The early church brought sought solutions to their common problem within the multitude of disciples. Acts 6, we heard about that this morning in Sunday school. Acts 15, they had problems in the church. Things were facing the church, and they came together. And as a brotherhood, as the apostles and prophets and the brethren, they were happy about the outcome. It wasn't just the apostles and the leadership, it was the brethren. Tonight, we have this living church. I hope so. I know it is. But tonight, as we go out to the council room and give our blessing and names on the ordination, let's just remember that the Holy Spirit is dwelling within us. And what we are saying is from God. Is from God. It's not from us. And we want to bless you as you do that. Not them, not other people that are saying, and it's not them and us and a controversy, but we as brotherhood are working together with God's Holy Spirit. We are the human element, and God is working through us. What an exciting day this is, that we have this Holy Spirit's presence within us. And Peter says, but you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, called out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are kings and priests with him.
tonight. It's not about organization so much. Is it about a living church, keeping the flame alive for this generation and this choosing tonight? May God bless. Turn it back over to Sim.